Srila Prabhupada said once that Nectar of Devotion is his favorite book. And we have Krishna book, which is non different from Krishna, and Nectar of Devotion speaks about bhakti. So some devotees say it's non different from Radharani. Anybody remember something from our previous class? Pardon? Yes, secondary rasas. Yeah, there are 12 rasas mentioned. Five main rasas in which we can be fixed in relationship with Krishna, and seven secondary, which enrich, which make for more variety. And also in our relationships in this world, if we are on a human level, then we... Or above, then we will also develop a reflection of the same 12 rasas. Yes, thank you. Anything else you remember from this last Sunday? It was, yes? Uh-huh. This is a very interesting phenomenon. Please notice that when somebody asks you questions, then oftentimes you get a question. And so if there are no questions, you can ask questions, and all of a sudden people have questions. I think it's, first of all, stimulates intelligence, and second of all, it's a very good defense. The best defense is... attack. It's best to ask questions. I'm joking. Yes.
You mentioned that we can, in relationship with Krishna, we can have different, like different forms. You said 1020.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain this a little bit further? Where is this written?
It's written in Taittiriya Upanishad, quoted by Baldeva Vidyabhushan in Vedanta Sutra. And he comments that the number 1020 is not the exact number. It just shows that as many as needed. Meaning that you are not limited, and so therefore... devotees in the spiritual world, if they want to serve Krishna in some different capacities, then they will manifest different forms. That's the idea. And we, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we know that very often Gaudiyas will have two. One in Vraja Lila, as for example one a gopi, and one in Gaura Lila, as maybe some white-haired Goswami. Or something like that. Yes.
Which Upanishad?
Taittiriya, as far as I remember, it was quoted. I can try to find. This is. You will not find much more explanation about this because this is a very esoteric subject. It is just. An interesting point from there. I don't have a more precise number here.
And Baladeva Vidyabhushan is quoting this where?
In his Vedanta Sutra commentary. Yeah, anything else you remember from before, from the last class? So that I mentioned this last Sunday, yeah?
Yes.
I suppose, yes. Good.
It was 2 weeks ago, right?
2 weeks ago.
This oh, correct. Yes, that
so
was...
we met.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, right. Wow. That's half a month one moon phase. Something else?
We talk about this bhoga tyaga principle in the
material world. Material rasa always bhoga and tyaga. We sometimes enjoy, sometimes bored and rejecting. Yes. because material happiness is chapala sukha. Yeah. Shravana Ramaniya? But you were not there, I think. Were you present?
Yes, yes.
You were present? Oh, yes. Were you present? Last Sunday? No. Okay. Yes, Prabhupada mentions this in the first canto, in the purport. When he mentions these 12 rasas, he says that if you understand these rasas, we will understand relationships in this world. Because they are a reflection of those rasas. Mm. And yes?
I remember you were talking about the life of Rupa and Sanatana.
Yes, Rupa
and Sanatana. Very nicely describing. And you mentioned that all the six Goswamis are our acharyas, but them especially for wisdom and books and so on. And little question, what about Gopalabhata Goswami? In which way he is acharya for us? How we can remember and praise him?
He was the Gopalabhata Goswami was a researcher for Sanatana Goswami. So there are some books which Sanatana Goswami published, like Hari Bhakti Vilas, and also the six Sandarbhas by Jiva Goswami, and so they are by Sanatana and Jiva, but both of them mention that the material was collected by Gopalabhata Goswami. So therefore, we still learn from him because he collected an amazing amount of these beautiful quotes for these shastras. One way, second way, he established Radharaman Temple. The Radharaman Temple. He wanted to worship Krishna he had 12 shalagrams, but he wanted to worship Krishna in a form with arms and everything. And one night, one shalagram, Damodar shalagram, turned into Radharaman, a very beautiful deity like this high. And usually, never deities are made with a fingerprints, papillary lines, and in such detail, deities are never made. And he has still some sign from this shalagram on his back. And I have seen photographs. There is one French devotee in French Bhakta in Vrindavan who goes around. He's a photographer, and he has some photos from Radharaman from different years, and he showed me some photos. So on one photo you can see the teeth of Radharaman smiling, and on another photo lips are closed.
Wow.
In some other year you don't see the teeth. wow, how is this? So it's a very, and also it's one of the very few deities in Vrindavan that is there since the Goswamis, because the others were taken during the Muslim invasion. They were taken to other places, hidden. But this one is one of the few, and also the temple is they. If you go to the kitchen, the fire in the kitchen there burns non-stop for the last 500 years. Never went out. For the last 500 years. And they have, and also Prabhupada said that we go to them to learn how to worship the deities. One of their Goswamis, Padmanabh Goswami. So Gopalabhata Goswami was a renunciate. He didn't have children, but he had a disciple, I think Gopinath, if I remember correctly, who was a Grihastha. And so all the, I don't know exactly how many families are there. There are several families. They are descendants of that disciple of Gopalabhata Goswami, and they take turns worshipping the Lord in their very traditional way. It's a very beautiful temple. They are very friendly, very one of the sweetest places in Vrindavan. They have a very dedicated community who love Radharaman and come very regularly and sing. And this is also one of the oldest, transcendental, because from the gate to the temple there is some maybe 200 meters. So on the gate you have red light and green light. So if you pass on the street, you see red light means no darshan. Green light means darshan is available now. You can go inside. And also, I think Vishvambara Goswami from Radharaman was one of the very few Vrindavan traditional Sampradaya Goswamis who immediately accepted Gaudiya Math and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There were other real or so-called Goswamis who were against Bhaktisiddhanta because he was smashing all the deviations, he was smashing Apa Sampradaya, he was smashing sinful activity that some of them were doing, or philosophical misconceptions like only by birth or only Brahman caste or only Indians, whatever. So it means that they had a pure tattva throughout the centuries preserved without any problem. They immediately recognized the pure line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes. So he's very special. There is samadhi there. You can go. They always have a kirtan near his samadhi. You can still see his shalagrams shilas, and you can. So it's a place of great mercy. Place. It's one of also my favorite places. My most favorite is Radha Gokulananda, temple of Shivanachakravarti Thakur, and it's nearby. Right next to it is Radharaman temple. They have many festivals. Sometimes Radharaman is riding huge silver elephant, and he comes close. They make a throne, flower throne, and he's right near the edge of the temple of the altar mandap. And sometimes you come there, and some old Brijbasi lady will tap you on the shoulder and offer you a huge military range binoculars. Says, you want to get very detailed darshan? She's coming to Radharaman with huge, you know, military binoculars. You want to see? Yeah, they have it. I think they also probably have some webcam streaming, like our Vrindavan temple. I think they, but I never was checking, because they don't, you know, like Radha Shyama Sundara, every day they have different dress and different appearance, but there they don't have much, that much change in the dress. Yes, so Rupa Goswami, and if we remember these six Goswamis, according to Krishna Skaraj Goswami, we can be free from all the obstacles and fulfill our best desires. Abhishta Puran, all the desires are fulfilled according to Krishna Skaraj Goswami. So let us chant, this is also traditional to chant this six Goswami Ashtaka, so we can chant this stanza from here. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sadharma sanstapako lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro radha krishna padaravinda bhajana nande namattaliko vande rupa sanatano raghu yugo shri jiva gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances. Those who have English, let's read together. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami dedicates his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, to his brother Sanatana. And he begins with Mangalacharana. It's a very esoteric Mangalacharana shloka. It has several translations. So Prabhupada begins the introduction. So we are at the introduction today. Invoking auspiciousness. There are actually three. Mangala means auspiciousness, ugodnost, like good fortune. So there are three points, usually, at least, in Mangala Charana. One is, who is our goal, worshipable object? That's one. Second, I don't have any. Alice, you know where? Oh, aha, that's intelligent. Second is offering obeisances. So, Mangala. Mangala means auspicious. Okay, Mangala. Actually, it's Mangala Acharana, yes. Offering obeisances. So we offer obeisances. So what is the object? What is the subject of the book? And sometimes also audience, who can hear, who cannot hear, like in Bhakti Sandarbha, in the six Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami says that this is only for bhaktas. If a non-devotee reads the six Sandarbhas, he will go to hell and suffer tremendously. In other words, he warns. This is the only way to properly understand the Bhakti Sandarbhas. Don't try to give other interpretation. But here, we don't have much of that. So obeisances, we have obeisances to Sanatana. He's to the Lord and to Sanatana. And then blessings. Blessings to the devotees. What do you get by studying this? So you can see it starts by describing Krishna, who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the reservoir of all rasas, or relationships, which are called, Prabhupada explains, neutrality, passive adoration, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, conjugal love. And then the seven secondary, comedy, compassion, fear, chivalry, ghastliness, wonder and devastation. Ghastliness, we translate into Slovenian as Pošastnost, yeah. And here, devastation will be anger. Yes, correct. Thank you, Radha. Yeah. He is the supreme attractive form, and by his universal and transcendental attractive features, he has captivated all the gopis, headed by Taraka, Palika, Shyama, Lalita, and ultimately Shrimati Radharani. So, very special Mangalacharana. Let his lordship's grace be on us, so that there may not be any hindrance in the execution of this duty of writing the Nectar of Devotion. Impelled by his divine grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. So he is offering obeisances to his guru, just as, and then to Rupa Goswami and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just as Rupa Goswami begins his great book by offering his respectful obeisances unto Sri Sanatana Goswami. So he prays, may this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu be a Vishram Mandir. Vishram means rest, where you become free from difficulties, tiredness, and it's also a mandir. It's a holy place. This was one of the inspirations for Kadamba Kanana Maharaja's creating this idea or spreading his idea of a sacred space. Shachinanda Maharaj speaks a lot about the sacred space inside. So it's a Vishram Mandir, a temple where we can really be our best in our heart. So he wants this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to be Vishram Mandir, where Sanatana Goswami can rest. And as always in this Sanskrit poetry, it has several meanings, and the other meaning could be that may this be a Vishram Mandir, the temple for the eternal Lord. Sanatana is the Lord. So he's offering obeisances like this. Then he offers obeisances to all the devotees, to the Vaishnavas, to the Acharyas, and he compares these Acharyas to whom? Sharks. Acharyas like sharks. So why are they compared to sharks? Why are the Acharyas compared to sharks? They are okay.
They never go to the rivers.
Yes, they don't go to the rivers, so they don't care for the impersonal merging, like rivers merge in the ocean. They do not care about the impersonal merging in the Brahman. Why else? They are very sharp. They are very strong. Yes, so they can defeat all the wrong philosophies. Why else can they be called sharks? Can an ordinary fisherman who goes to the sea to catch fish, can they catch a shark in his ordinary net? So yes, so maybe contemporary, you know, these big ships they can, but you know, in this industrial, but it's mentioned in the commentaries, just like a fisherman cannot catch a shark in his net, so these sharks cannot be caught in the net of time. The net of time cannot catch the sharks of these acharyas. Some of these sharks can be really huge. They can be, there are tiger sharks, and there are some crazy stories about 5-meter sharks, 6-meter sharks, and some gigantic sharks. There was one shark which swallowed a military bomb or a mine that was dropped from one military vessel. And if you know, they are very big, these sea mines, sea bombs, they are gigantic. They are, I think, like 1 meter big against other ships. So there was a huge shark which was they sometimes swim with an open mouth and swallow everything. So this shark swallowed that bomb and then swam to the ship and the ship itself was blown up because the bomb blew up. Anyway, so they are powerful and they play. It's a very strange comparison. Sometimes we like to give some very sweet comparisons, but Rupa Goswami gives a very strong comparison to show the powerful position of the acharyas and of great devotees who enjoy in the spiritual world. Any questions here? So, you can see, he says, what's my goal? He says, what's his goal? Or what's his worshipable object? Sanatana, the Lord, yes. So he wants the Lord to be happy. In Sanskrit, this verse says Vijayate, may this Akhila Rasa Amrita. So only Krishna can be called Akhila Rasa Amrita. He has all the rasas. He is the reservoir of all the rasas. So therefore, he immediately shows the specialty of his object, Akhila Rasa. He's like the moon, source of all rasa. Akhila Rasa Amrita Murti Prasri Mararuchiruda Taraka Pali Kalitasya Malalito Radha Preyan Vidhur Jayati. So may this moon be victorious. So he conquers the stars, the Gopi stars, but also he can attract us and conquer our heart, attract our heart. So you can see there is a hidden blessing here that may Krishna conquer, may the moon of Krishna win the star of our hearts, the stars of our hearts. There's a hidden blessing here. Then he also wants Sanatana Goswami to find peace and rest in the temple of this book, in the mandir of this book. And he says, I'm very useless, I'm very fallen and low. However, I do this, Vande Chaitanya Devas. I do this because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to do this. He told me to write these books. And Prabhupada says this is the mood of the preachers. That should be the attitude of all preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. We should never think of ourselves as great preachers, but should always consider that we are simply instrumental to the previous acharyas, and simply by following in their footsteps we may be able to do something for the benefit of suffering humanity. A very characteristic paradox for yoga. A very great task, very ambitious, we can say super ambitious task, change the world. And very humble attitude. I'm not fit to even, you know, be near great devotees. And this is actually the mood which allows us to achieve these great goals. And this is the very big challenge. This is the first big, one of the first big challenges in our devotional life, to keep these both parts, have a great ambition for doing something special for Krishna, who is God. Like, for example, if you had to do something for the Queen of England, or I don't know, President of USA, or some, I don't know, some very rich person. Who do we have? Anyway, this year, as usual, the richest person of the world officially is again Bill Gates. Yes. So, if you had to give him a gift, or give him something, or make something for him, then would it be a somewhat challenging task? So we want to give something to Krishna, who is God. So it can be a little challenging. As one Jaipuri Bihari says, Krishna, your wife is the husband. Your wife is the goddess of fortune. What can I give you? You, everything is already yours. So what can I offer you? But still, I think that I have something you can use, because you like to go and steal butter from your neighbors, And therefore, for that, you need cover and darkness. So I have been collecting darkness in my heart for millions of births. So please take all this darkness and use for your butter stealing pastimes. We can use that. And the other one, he says, Krishna, my heart is very crooked. I am so crooked. I'm not very straightforward and honest and sincere. But you also, you stand in a three bending posture in a crooked way. So maybe you can use the crookedness of my heart to manifest in my heart also. So we have the attitude, proper attitude of preachers is on humility, and at the same time pleasing Krishna, Gauranga, and maybe saving the world, saving the humanity, the whole humanity, which is like somebody asks you, what's your occupation? And you can say, I'm saving the humanity. Or what's your hobby? Oh, I'm saving the world. That's what you are doing. If this is not your direct engagement, if you are a preacher or serving in a temple, at least it's your hobby. What do you do on Sundays? I'm saving the world. But being humble at the same time. You have said,
yeah, I saw one
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Yes.
My yoga teacher said when someone asks her what she does for a living, and she would say, "Yesam dushe blizhnik."
Oh yeah.
It's like the one for the soul.
Yeah. Soul caretaker. Yes, that's nice. Dushe blizhnik. And like now we want to have a beautiful temple in Ljubljana, in here, and how much money we need for that, like 10 million euros, 8 million euros to make it fully as we
one and a half.
What is that? I mean, 1.5 million euros, what is this? It's like like for any, like even for that union there, you know, what, for them one and a half million euros. What? It's no money for them, right? Is it? And but for us, it may seem, oh my God, where do I get 1.5 million euros?
This is like 1 euro per person.
In Slovenia, yeah, just 1 euro. So. I think this also could be a very good engagement service, which anybody can very happily and comfortably do. Because even if somebody feels shy to distribute books, which is Prabhupada's beloved service, and it is not easy to distribute books because it combines on one side helping people, on the other side making them interested, whereas so many people are not interested, and on the other side, getting a donation for it. I know, when I distribute books, this is a problem for me, because I have to combine these two things. First of all, how do I give it to the person without manipulating the person's interest? And then I do want to get a donation for it. And then how do I do this without being fruitive or manipulate or controlling in that thing? However, I think this is what everybody can do. Everybody can go to the offices on the street and say, would you like to do something? Look, we have such a beautiful project, such a beautiful temple here in Ljubljana. Would you like to donate whatever you want? I mean, who would not give 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 euros, 1,000 euros if they are more? I mean, it's whatever their religion is, everybody would like to have a beautiful, nice temple in Ljubljana. I think this is very good idea, yeah. And would you feel shy to do this? It's even though you want here actually thousands of euros, but it's probably easier to present to non-devotees than buy a book. Amazingly enough, even though book is cheaper, I think that's what we should do. I mean, 1.5 million euros on a large scale. This is not a big money. Everybody can, give half an hour, 1 hour a week and go to some few offices or visit few people and just need some, even one picture, or of course better booklet with some, we have a very beautiful presentations on this temple, can make it. So, this is the task to combine ambitious goals in line with our heart desires, very specific goals, and at the same time be humble and detached. And then it becomes yoga, and then that's also the formula of success. Yoga means also success. It's one of the meanings of yoga. Yoga, or the art of work or success, has two things. One is effort, and the other thing is surrender, complete surrender. It's like ice and fire at the same bottle, and the same thing. So, any points here? Any questions, comments? Here, one important thing is that goals will be more powerful, as powerful as they are sincere, big, and specific. So the goals need to be in line with what we really want in life, something really great, something really beautiful, and specific. Yeah. And this is where often we stumble. This is one of the reasons we may not advance in whatever we are doing, and in spiritual life in particular. We all know what is our goal. What is our goal?
Krishna. No.
Yes, Krishna Prema. This is something that you wake up anybody and say, what's your goal? I actually did this several weeks ago in a class. Somebody fell asleep and I said, I woke them up and said, Prabhuji, what's our goal? Ah, Krishna Prema? But what is, for whom Krishna Prema is the goal? Now, what is Krishna Prema for you? What is Krishna Prema for you? Who could say something? What is Krishna Prema for you? I Some of you may have been asked already this question by me, but it's always a good question to ask. What is Krishna Prema for you?
Is Krishna the absolute? And,
to please Krishna is the absolute. Yes. I would ask how, or how would you know that he is pleased? Huh? Guru is pleased, or maybe he smiles to you, or maybe he responds to you and you know, and he tells you thank you, or counts like Brahmaji, he pleased Krishna, he came and shook hands. Why not? Is it a more interesting, you know, compare pleasing Krishna and Krishna coming and saying I'm happy with what you did. What's more inspiring? Yeah, and serving. You said serving.
Yeah, when you serve, and then you see the devotee's happy and inspired.
The devotee's happy and inspired. Yes, good. Then again, I would push maybe. How do you see that devotees are happy and inspired? What are the signs? How will it manifest?
Smiling,
yes.
They want to
hug you. Okay, good. Please, somebody go hug her. You see? Is that more inspiring than just saying serving? And inspired. How do you know that they are inspired?
They
speak inspired. Yes, they want to serve. They come and say, what can I do? Happily. Not that you go and say, can you do this? When? Okay. So this is the task. Anybody else wants to volunteer about this? You're willing to do anything for their pleasure. Yes. Is there something you are unwilling, that you feel somewhat afraid or uncomfortable doing for Krishna?
Well,
how about
depends on what kind of day.
Like, for example, going out on the street and distributing books in the street. I feel fully comfortable with that, or is it not fully comfortable?
I feel much more comfortable going door to door.
Door to door, okay. Or if you were offered to have some short or long, if you were offered to have a daily 1 hour. Program on the TV in the evening, every day, Slovenian national TV. Do you have Slovenian national TV? Would you feel comfortable about it today? Ah? So meaning, put something specific and see that. How it manifests, that I will be inspired, that I will be so connected with Radha Krishna, so full of love Radha Krishna, people will have to hold me. will have to tell me, please sleep more, like my Guru Maharaj, people have to, you know, like hold them, you know, please take some more rest, please, you know, or GBC has to issue an order to Naranjana Swami, please travel less, take 2 years off and take care of your health. It's an order. It's not enough, we order you, please. Naranjana Maharaj, GBC had to kind of hold him. Yeah. So I want to ask you, please take a few minutes to think how does Prema look for you individually and personally. So Again, please make it specific. Please make it specific. As I sometimes quote Niranjana Swami, who has one test. If some brahmachari comes and says, I don't know, maybe I should get married or no, maybe I'm not cut out for being a brahmachari, then Niranjana Swami says, has one test, one question he asks to find out, is that actually the case, or person just should persevere. So you know that question, yeah? What sari is she in today? What what sari does she wear today? So if the guy knows the answer, then he says, yeah, maybe that's... and if he says, who, what, where? Then he says, well, maybe you should eat less paneer in the evening. And, you know, work more, go on the street more. So specific, this is what all the advertisers know. Advertisement will also put in some specific point to catch you. If it just says, buy new computer. Yeah, well, you know, okay, new, why should I buy a new computer? But if it says, new computer, 3 terabytes hard disk, or 8, whatever is this, 8, what are they called? Processor has 8 heads, or whatever they are called. Or, you know, it's 3 times faster, you know, 10 gigahertz speed, or, you know, some number is usually there. And then you think, gee, there is 3 terabyte hard disk, you know. I have only half terabyte, and I cannot put all my lectures, and it doesn't fit. Maybe it's time, you know. I already have this computer for 3 months. Maybe it's time. Yeah, I have an external drive. I put in, put out. It's not so. Anyway, something specific. Or buy the new mobile. It's 3 millimeters thin or something, you know? And you think, my God, 3 millimeters. My old block brick is 4 millimeters thick, you know? And then you have something to think about. Yes. Something specific. So please take a few minutes and write down your specific goal about bhakti. I can just mention maybe shortly that when Krishna describes prayojana as the goal in the Gita and in the Bhagavatam, he makes it also very specific. In the Gita, he says, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam." I guide prema bhaktas from the heart. I talk to them from the heart. That's his picture of prema. And in the Bhagavatam, he says, bhakta sees me all the time, everywhere, inside and outside. So that's prema vision that premi bhakta always sees, also specific. All the time you see your worshipable Lord everywhere. So specific, that's how Krishna presents prayojana. So please write it down. Looking at the list of your goals for 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, can you please select something from 1 year from now, and can you see what do you need to do this week to get that goal? Can you find some specific practical action you can take this week to approach, to get closer to this goal that you have for 1 year?
For 1 year.
Yeah. So select one of these yearly goals and see if you can. You have it? So just think of some specific action, some step you can do. Even a small step, but something you can do. Select something practical. And now, can you please again look at this goal and see what would be the pleasant rewards of achieving this goal? Pleasant rewards of achieving this goal. Can you look at this goal, one that you have just looked at, and see what would be the pleasant rewards that you would get achieving this goal? What's nice about getting this goal? Now here, I'm not sure what you are writing. Are you writing what will make you happy about this goal? You don't have to write the question. I'm asking you to do this right now. So please just look at this and in your heart's eye, heart's ear, and I don't know, heart's nose and skin or whatever is your motive. Can you look at this goal and see what would make you happy? When you get it, what makes you happy? Are you writing down what makes you happy? I'm wondering what everybody is writing down.
No, first
is specific action. Yeah, specific action that's done. We I've asked you. I hope. Who has thought of some specific action? Okay, everybody go. Okay, so that you can write down. Hopefully you have written down. This you can do for all goals at home. But now I'm asking you to see some things that make you happy when you get it. Can you think of, can you see what makes you happy about achieving this goal? Who sees something that makes you happy about this goal? Okay. You can see what makes you, selfishly or materialistically or just in a human, simple, normal way happy about getting this goal. Can you see something that makes you just normally, in a normal human way happy about this goal? Can you find something? Everybody can find something? Yes? Okay, now one, so now, can you again look at this goal and in your heart say, Krishna, my dear Radha Krishna, my dear Panchatattva Gornitai, I want to offer this goal to you. So this goal is for your pleasure. So again, I'm more interested if you think this than if you write this. So can you just go into your heart and think, look at this goal and make this inner movement, exercise your heart capacity and say, Krishna, I'm seeing this goal, I want to make you happy by getting this. So this is for you. This goal is for you. Can you do this in your heart? Surrender this goal to Krishna. And now, can you also tell Krishna, Krishna, whether you allow me to get this goal or whether you will not allow me to get this goal, I accept, I agree. Whether you give or this goal or not, I agree, I accept. Can you think this? Not right. Can you think this in your heart? Can you find that acceptance feeling? Can you renounce this goal? Even if you never, ever, ever give this goal, it's okay. Can you think about this? Even if you never, ever give this goal, I agree. I'm just a servant. You know better. You know best what's best. I will try to offered this goal to you, but it's yours, so you can give or you cannot give. It's yours. I have already offered. I have offered now. It's yours. It's not mine. It's not for me. I'm offering it to you. I'm not trying to get it for me. I'm trying to get it for you. So I'm not attached. Can you think this? Hare Krishna. So you can please do this about each of these. Who had a little difficulty renouncing your goal? Yes. So this is an important part of surrender, detachment. This is our work, and it's a work which you can do only inside, in heart. You cannot do this. So this is what we learn. This is where yoga is. This yoga is that in your heart, the other effort, okay, you do some effort outside, but this detachment, nobody can actually say, are you detached or not? The surrender is in the heart that you are saying, Krishna, I accept. This is for you, it's yours. Whether the result is there or not, it's yours. I'm giving this to you, so I accept. So I will ask you to do this with all of these goals. Yeah. So, we can say visualize or see or specifically how it looks, acts, then happiness. It's very helpful if I can find selfish happiness in this, and I can see, okay, this is a happiness because of I will feel popular or famous or whatever, or this I will feel happy because I will get some control, or I will feel happy because I will enjoy. I will be happy because it gives me some security. If I find something that's it's all right, but then it's very important to surrender that attachment to my enjoyment, to my control, to my security, to my... Problem is not with these things. Problem is with my attachment. That's what yoga cuts. And in bhakti yoga, it's very organically inbuilt because you offer to Krishna in love. So in love, when you do something out of love, you do, but not for yourself. You do, but for the other person. And already you're happy as you do. Like if you cook something for somebody that person likes, are you happy cooking? When you look for a present that you know the person likes, are you happy looking for that present? Yeah. So when you prepare some, you are already happy. That's the secret of bhakti yoga. It works from the first second. You don't have to work for 20 years to achieve transcendental effect. It's an amazing what makes bhakti yoga different from every other yoga. But it's an internal act of offering. So, questions, points on this? Comments? So I will suggest that you can please go through these goals. You may modify these goals and you review these goals. You put all the goals in different areas of your life. You can code them so that nobody else understands except you, if they are somewhat private. And you can put these codes somewhere on the fridge or, I don't know, somewhere so that you are reminded about these goals. It's very much part of our, part of any sattvic activity and especially part of Vedic culture. Before you do anything, you set, this is why I am doing it. Any yagya, you say, I am such and such, here and there, in this place, I do this and this to achieve that purpose. Like, if we study, we say, Krishna Pratyay Vinayoga, Vinayoga. The purpose is to please Krishna, or Vishnu Kirtan Vinayoga, to glorify Krishna. Or, you know, you state your goal. That's, and every day, every twice born, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they stop their activities three times a day and they think, who am I? What's my goal in life? Prachodayat. May Krishna guide me. May Krishna inspire me. And dhimahi, I meditate. What's the path? What do I need to do? And how do I do this? What's the external? And dhimahi, what's the consciousness? So this is the, you can see the Prabhupada speaks, very important, attitude of the preachers. So goal is there, attitude is there. And now we will have the activity of that. So the next part are Shastra Vibhaga. The four parts of the ocean. Sindhu, you know, is ocean. That's where the word Hindu comes from. Or India. India is coming from that. Because people who were behind the Indus or Sindhu River, the Afghans and like Iranis, they couldn't say S. There are some people who cannot pronounce S. Or have difficulty with the word sound S. And like in Assam, there is a whole state in Assam. It's very funny. It's called Assam because Assamese never say S. They don't say Assam. They say Ahom. And they don't say Satya. They say Hotto. Yeah, they cannot say Sindhu. They will say Hindu. Hindu. Yeah. So Sindhu means ocean, and ocean has four sides: the east, the south, the west, and the north. So these are the four parts. Four parts of the ocean of nectar, bhakti rasa. They are okay. East is the, it's called the general description of Samanya. Introduction to Bhakti Yoga. What is Bhakti? You have this in the end of the book. In my book, it's page 409. So you can see eastern side. This is varieties of bhakti. Varieties of bhakti. Then north is, yeah, let's go in the order. So first south. South is five components of rasa. Which we study in Bhakti Vaibhav, the other parts. Bhakti Shastri is just east. Five components of rasa. The recordings of this are on our VHE site from Bhakti Shtanya Swami, on ISKCON C / VHE from here. And then west is five direct rasas. And north, seven secondary rasas and combinations. Good and bad combinations. indirect rasas, like laughing. Five components. This is vibhava relation, the object subject. Then sthayibhava, constant mood, which is one of the rasas. Then anubhava, action. Vyabhichari, transitory emotions, and sattvika, the ecstasies. Anyway, that's coming in the self. So, what we study in Bhakti Shastri are the four four things, four waves. So these other are waves. You can see the five waves, seven waves, five waves. So here we have four waves, samanya, or general description of bhakti, definition of bhakti. What is bhakti in general? Yeah, that's the first thing. Then the next thing is sadhana bhakti. And the next thing is bhava bhakti. So for that we have samanya is introduction, and the first chapter qualities, six qualities of bhakti and so forth. That's the first wave. Second wave is sadhana. So we have up to chapter 16, including raganuga, bhakti. Then bhava bhakti, that's 17, 18. So bhava bhakti, what is bhava? And then prema, chapter 19. Prema bhakti, the perfection. And the rest actually describes, prema is in detail in these next three parts of the ocean. So these are the grantha vibhaga, the parts of the shastra, this ocean. Varieties of bhakti, levels, you can say levels of bhakti. Then components of rasa, five rasas main, and seven rasas secondary in their combination. So that's, these are the parts. Questions here? You are in ecstasy. Again, it's in the back of your book. Yes. So sometimes in the exam you have this question, four waves. You know, what are the four parts of this this Bhakti Shastri, first part of the ocean? It's pretty understandable. You know, sadhana bhava prema, three levels, sadhana bhava prema, bhava ecstasy. And samanya means general, just what is bhakti in general, what are the qualities of bhakti.
That's
these four just for east.
And the rest are...
Here are five waves, five components of rasa. Uh-huh. The juice of rasa. And then here five waves, five rasa, like madhurya, friendship, parental rasa. And here seven secondary rasas, laughter, wonder. Yeah. So that's they will have other waves. So that's the ocean. Okay, so then next part is the most important verse of all the Vedic literature. If you want to get one verse which gives you everything about the process of bhakti, then this is the verse. It's the conclusion of all the Vedas. And it's a very important verse to learn by heart. And it, in just one short verse, you have the full explanation of all the practice, all the answers to all the questions. You know which verse is this?
1:1:11.
Exactly. 1:1:11. Yes, this is 1:1:11. Can you please pull down this? On the request of Shashinanda Maharaj, I prepared a presentation on this for our Govardhan retreat this year. So here is this verse. It's also present in our Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everybody can see? Let us... Who knows this verse already by heart? You know? Very good. Okay, so let us chant this verse. Anya vilashita sunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttamam. And this describes our practice. So our practice is bhakti uttama. That's what we practice. Uttama bhakti. Our sadhana is uttama bhakti. And from the pure bhakti, from the beginning. It's not that we want to practice any other bhakti, and it's possible to practice uttama bhakti, pure bhakti from the beginning. And this verse will describe how and why. And the first two lines describe the secondary characteristics of bhakti, which make bhakti pure. And just three words in the third line describe what is bhakti in general, whether pure or impure. What's the heart of bhakti? They are called sarupa lakshanas and Tatastha, like Sarupa. What's the essence, Sarupa, real form of bhakti? The heart of what is bhakti? And then the others are what makes bhakti pure. So this is probably the main thing we need to know and understand to practice. That brings what are we doing? You know, we are chanting. So the translation, you can see this is Prabhupada's translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When first class devotional service develops, let's read together. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. Let's read Srila Prabhupada's translation from the Nectar of Devotion. That's page 21, XXI, at the top in the brackets. First class devotional service is known by one's tendency to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, serving the Lord favorably. Yeah. That's the definition. So, all the Veda is a commentary on this. All the billions of verses of the Vedic literature is just a commentary on this verse. Billions of verses are a commentary on this verse.
Wow.
So, now, here you can see it's presented as a diagram. We have three core svarupa, essential qualities. So without these three qualities, there is no bhakti. So that's the three hearts you see here. And what makes bhakti pure are these shining rays which make bhakti in general become practice of pure bhakti. It makes bhakti pure. Mm-hmm. So now there's good discussion Srila Prabhupada discusses throughout introduction and throughout other places. There are several essential things we need to understand. So if we experience any delay or obstacles in our bhakti, it's because we haven't gotten one part of these 5 points. So there are 5 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So first point is not so difficult to get. Anushilanam. So Prabhupada says it's activity. Shila means character, means meditation. Anu means several things, means constant, according to parampara. Anu means following. Uskladus, or after, like after. You know? So it means... So that is not so complicated. It means come to the temple, see the devotees, read the books, go to Vrindavan, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So is that bhakti? No. That's only the first element of bhakti. If you do this, you will be blessed unlimitedly already. It will be bhakti unmukhi sukriti. It will be something that brings us to always come in touch with bhakti life after life. You will never again lose this chance once you start, even without understanding. You do some bhakti process, like we say, oh, Hare Krishna, or this Hare Krishna. Done, you're connected. You will get another chance, another chance, another chance. But it's not a practice yet, because two more are needed to make bhakti bhakti. Please note, even if it's not pure, these three things need to be there. One is Krishna, object of this seva. Object, who is the object of this seva? And it means to understand. So as Kanishta Adhikari will tend to think that Krishna is only an official form, maybe a deity in the temple, and especially in my temple, not in that temple. Or if, like, you know this joke about a Jew who was marooned, who was on some there was some shipwreck, the ship sank, and he was one surviving person on an uninhabited island, on a desolated island. So he was found after some years, and people were saying, so how did you live? He said, okay, so you see, here's my house, I built a hut. You see, here's where I cooked or prepared whatever I could prepare. And here's my synagogue where I go for worshiping God. And they say, and what's that other building? He says, that's another synagogue. He said, why do you need two synagogues? He says, why? You know, this is the synagogue where I go to, and this is the synagogue which I do not go to. You know, there has to be a, you know, place, synagogue where you go to worship, and the place where you never put your foot in, because they do it wrong. They don't do it right. So that's it can be a temple, a group, it can be, you know, the name, some official form. Usually in simple terms, a deity, archa. Some official worshipable form. But because some religions don't have a deity, it can be a book, or like, you know, again, Muslims, they don't have, in the temple, there's nothing basically. There's just a mark where Mecca is. So, but still, they are worshipping. So, to practice proper bhakti, you have to understand that Krishna, you can turn to the next page, same place, Prabhupada says, when we speak of Krishna, we refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not just a blue boy. He's not just a deity in my temple. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means that he has many expansions. He's expanded by his plenary parts and parcels. It includes Rama. It includes Buddha. It includes Allah. You know, it includes his Shaktyavesh avatar, Jesus Christ. You know, it includes all the forms. His differentiated part and parcels means devotees and jivas. Even this kari tree and that champaka. Also inside there is a jiva, and this is, and Krishna is also present. And his energies, his different energies. Krishna, in other words, means everything, and includes everything. Generally, however, we should understand Krishna to mean Krishna and his personal expansions. So Krishna includes all such expansions as well as his pure devotees. So if you get here, this is one thing that puts us from Kanishta to at least Madhyama, because we will be respectful. We can also become a proper preacher or teacher, because we will respect that there is a free will, a soul, Krishna is in the heart, and that works much better, right? Which you can remember, which teacher in your school inspired you more? One who just tried to control you, or one who tried to develop you as an independent, or as a person, or as a, you know, as, so saw you as a person? Maybe they were strict, can be strict, but still they saw you as a person, they wanted to develop you as a person, so they saw that you are a soul, you're a personality, you have a choice.
I wanted just to ask, you were saying Krishna means everything.
Not, I haven't finished. That's Prabhupada's words. Krishna means everything, Krishna includes everything. So we are not Mayavadis. We do not say that I can worship, you know, just anything, just trees or a tree, and that's it. We have to understand that there is Krishna himself, and there are differentiate. So jiva is never equal to Krishna, although jiva is part of Krishna. So this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, or as Prabhupada writes in the last verse of the Gita, he says, you remember how he expresses this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva in the last verse, purport of the Gita? Nothing is different from Krishna, but Krishna is different from everything.
I have two questions about this. One is, I don't remember the name of the book, but one devotee was saying to me that there is a dialogue between Narada Muni and Radhika Gopi, and he was saying about she told him that he never had darshan with Krishna until he had darshan with Radha Krishna. So I'm now thinking, if you meditate just on Krishna, is this equal good if you meditate on Radha Krishna? Is it one thing? And the second thing, I was also thinking, object of seva is Krishna, but Krishna says, devotees, my devotees, act with my devotees. So is it possible then that object of seva, if it's the devotee, it's actually a better object? For example, if you meditate on Srila Prabhupada, is it better? In the sense, like, if you're worshipping Srila Prabhupada, it's better because he's the devotee?
Krishna says, yes, that when you serve his servants, it's more powerful. But we do not serve his servants as independent from Krishna. So we serve his servants as Krishna's servants. Yeah, that's important, because sometimes you can see somebody makes a cult of a guru without Krishna, or without other devotees, or without, yeah? So that would be, again, not understanding Krishna. But otherwise, yes, we serve Krishna through his devotees. And okay, so these were two most important parts of bhakti. And the most important part of bhakti, Krishna willing, we will discuss next Sunday. Hare Krishna. So meanwhile, you can please try to remember looking around you. Today is a very good day to practice this, Sunday. So try to remember that Krishna includes his children. Krishna includes his devotees. And we cannot make Krishna happy if we neglect his parts. Like, for example, if I massage your feet, and then I hammer one of your toes, and I say, why are you worrying? You know, I massage the whole foot, the other leg. I massage the whole leg. So I just struck one little finger, you know. Come on, I served, you know, the whole foot, the whole leg, two legs. And just one little finger, okay, toe, okay, I struck, okay. But that's, you know, cannot compare, right? So it's a good meditation to meditate, to make our bhakti more mature. Respect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. My humble obeisances. Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Eva Cha.